by the new and living way.
Welcome to another time of abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, by the new and living way, consecrated for us into the life within the veil. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith as we hear the word of righteousness with God's servant.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm sure we are expectant this morning. The Lord is our strength in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you once again. As we look into your word, we ask that you grant us understanding. You give us wisdom to navigate the paths of this study and the mind of God's servant, our daddy. God's servant, your servant that you have raised, our daddy, Pastor Maker, concerning this study, that which you have put in his heart, we come under it. You will help us to touch that in the name of Jesus. You grant us entrance into it and you help us to understand in the mighty name of Jesus. I come under the grace of God in the house and under God's servant, our parents, that you will speak through me and your people will be blessed. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, you have the manual. We have been considering understanding everlasting light. Can I hear that? Please, let's say it together. You know, we are doing this thing together. So we are studying together. We are going through it together. And God will help us in Jesus' name. This is lesson 2. And I know that last week we were blessed. Everlasting life, the topic is everlasting life, eternal life, rightly dividing the word of truth. Can we say that together? Eternal life, rightly dividing the word of truth, part 2. Can we say that together? Everlasting life, eternal life, rightly dividing the word of truth, part 2. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's on the school, so don't mind me, it's cool. So sometimes you say things and we repeat it just for the purpose of emphasis and also to be able to sing into our hearts properly. Praise the Lord. Memory track. Last week, by the grace of God, in the last lesson under this series, we saw that the Word of God is the final authority and is the final authority on any subject matter. Praise the Lord. Of God's things and God's thoughts. That these thoughts cannot be understood without the help of the Spirit of God. And that the Lord gives these thoughts to men whom he has dealt with and not directly to his people. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So when God wants to communicate his thoughts, his ways, his things to the people of God, he will raise vessels, deal with them, you know, handle them, lead them, you know, configure them, and then speak to them so that there can be a blessing to the people. We see that pattern in the book of Ephesians that he raised the ministry gift. We also began to shed some light on some of the limitations of human language. Praise the Lord. Limitations human languages have in accurately capturing, praise the Lord, we also began to shed some light on some of the limitations human languages have in accurately capturing God's thoughts. We learned last week how the human language has limitation to capture the thoughts of God, to capture the mind of God, to capture the intent of God. There is a lot of limitation. So if you want to go by language, to understand the things that God is saying, you will be limited. You won't be able to see everything, or the mind of God will not be fully communicated because the human language came as a result of the fall of man. Praise the Lord. The human language came after the fall. Anything after the fall is inaccurate, is insufficient to capture the thoughts and the mind of God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So the languages we have they are inaccurate in capturing God's thoughts. In this lesson, that is in today's lesson, we trust God for help to further buttress the inadequacies of the human languages and to establish the place of the Holy Spirit in rightly dividing scriptures which have been handed down to us in human language. Praise the Lord. I remember last week we saying that the fact that human languages are inaccurate, they are falling short, they are weak, and they lack the accurate and the right potency to capture the thoughts of God. It doesn't mean a Bible was written in human language. And does that mean that we should despise and throw away Bible? No. We still use it. God will still use it to be able to help us and train us until we learn to connect to the original language or the original intention of God. Praise the Lord. So God will still use scriptures. God will still use Bible. God will still use human languages to reach out to us and bless us. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. The dilemma of falling human language or tongue in conveying God's thought. Before we go, let's open to our text quickly. I want us to read our text. I don't know whether we're able to read it during the week, but I want us to read it. 2 Timothy, this time around, not 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. I want us to read that together. Are we together? 2 Timothy chapter is on the screen. If you can't open your Bible. 1, 2, go. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 27. Can we read together? 1, 2, go. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. Praise the Lord. Let's open to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, 1 to 2. 1 to go. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ. Praise the Lord. Let's open to 1 Corinthians quickly, chapter 2, 4 to 15. I'll read verse 4. You read the next verse, and then we conclude. Praise God. We'll just read it alternatively like that. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4. I read, then you read the next verse. Are we ready? All right, I read. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. Which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But God had revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judge of no man. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I like this rendition so much. Verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. But the natural man does what? Receiveth not. Meaning the natural man cannot, doesn't have the capacity, doesn't have what it takes to receive the things of God. You know, Daddy was ministering in SOS, talking about the Spirit of God is different from the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. You can be in a meeting where the Holy Ghost is in operation, but there is something that the Spirit of God does when it's in operation. Praise the Lord. It's not every meeting or in every gathering that people are gathered in the name of the Lord or Christians are gathered that are calling the name of the Lord that the Spirit of God is there. Praise God. But the Holy Ghost is there. And what the Spirit of God comes to do, according to Daddy when he was ministering, it comes to form image. Praise the Lord. That's what, you know, when God created man in his own image, after his own likeness, it was the Spirit of God at work. In creating image, it was the Spirit of God at work to form, to create man. The Spirit of God was at work to create man after his likeness. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And this is the man. This man was an everlasting man. And this is the man that God blessed. Praise the Lord. So let's go back to Corinthians. So if you approach, you know, if we approach scripture with natural mind, that's what Corinthians is saying. If we approach scripture with natural mind, we cannot receive the things that the Spirit of God is speaking. So the deeper we go in the things of God, the more those things become foolish to the natural man. The natural man sees the things of God as what? As foolishness. Because they don't mean anything to him. Praise the Lord. Because they are spiritually discerned. Meaning they are spiritually judged. You can't judge them if you are natural. If you approach scripture with natural mind or with academic mind, you won't see the mind of God. You won't be able to discern what God is communicating. Praise the Lord. You know, scripture is not academic. Praise the Lord. Scripture is not academic. It's not school. The natural school that we go to. You know, the scripture is spiritual. Scripture is authored by a spirit. Spirit authored the scripture. So, man can relate with the letters of the word or the scripture of the Bible, but we lack ability to touch the mind of the spirit or come into the substance that scripture is trying to communicate so that we can be formed. Praise the Lord. So, anything natural or anything man cannot lacks the capacity to receive what the Spirit of God, not Holy Ghost, Spirit of God is communicating, for they are foolishness to him, unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. The next verse, verse 15. But he that is spiritual, so you can see what they want to make us, first of all, they want to make us spiritual. To become spiritual is to become Christ. Having the mind of Christ makes us to become what? Spiritual. Because the only spiritual man we know according to scripture is Christ. Christ is spiritual. And he that is spiritual judged all things. Meaning that it will take Christ's judgment or Christ's attainment to come to the judgment of all things, which are things of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But he that is spiritual comes to judgment or judgeth all things. And we know that these all things are things of God. All things of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. God will increase our judgment in Jesus' name. God wants us to increase in judgment. That's why we are studying. So that we can divide the world. So that we can come to the place of dividing the world. Rightly dividing the world. Not just anyhow dividing. Rightly. Rightly dividing the world. So the dilemma in our going to our manual, reading from our manual, the dilemma of fallen man or human tongue or language in conveying God's thoughts. When God created Adam, his wife, and his wife in Eden in the beginning, they definitely had a language or languages that they both must have been speaking amongst themselves. And they spoke with the Lord. According to Genesis chapter 2:15, let's see. And the Lord took man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. The next verse. And the Lord commanded, saying, praise the Lord. So there is something that the Lord, when the Lord was commanding, saying, how was he communicating with Adam? You know, that's, I just want us to, you know, how was God communicating with Adam? When they say, we had thy voice in the beginning, when Adam, even when he fell, he said they had, what was the voice? What was the voice saying? Praise the Lord. So God commanded man, Adam, man, saying, of every tree. So was he speaking English? Was he speaking Yoruba? Igbo? Hausa? Eh? Was he speaking all the languages? Hebrew, Greek, Latin, as Daddy said. Eh? What was the language that God was speaking to man? Praise God. So you can agree with me, it wasn't English. It wasn't Latin. It wasn't Greek. It wasn't Hebrew. Praise the Lord. None of those languages were there. There was no tribe. There was not any tribal. There was nothing. Something. You see, where man fell from? Man fell from a rain. Man fell from a rain. Something happened to man. So all the languages we are seeing are limitations. As a result of the fall, sir. They are limitations. See, I perceive that what the language God was using to communicate with man, with Adam and his wife, was the language he was using in creation. I may be wrong. And God said, let there be light. And God said in chapter 1, and God kept saying, and kept saying, and kept saying, and kept saying, and kept saying. I perceive it's the same language he was using to communicate when he brought man after creation. Because it was after saying in chapter 1, he brought in man and blessed man that he created. Then he went ahead in chapter 2 to form man from the dust of the earth. And then he began to communicate with him. So there was communication. Can I hear that? Can we say that together? There was communication before the fall. Let's say that together. So there is something, there is a way God was communicating with man. And that communication stopped, was hindered when man fell from the estate that God placed him in the garden. So we are, my brother and my sister, we are on a journey of recovery of our original language. Praise the Lord. We are all on what? On a journey of recovery. That's what I'm seeing. We are on a great journey. See, until we recover that estate, we will not be able to advance. You know, man was in that estate and he was instructed to journey until he comes to the place of eating of the tree of life. You know, we have not been restored back. We are not a living soul yet. Until we are restored back to living soul, then we will now begin to a journey of journeying into eternal life. Praise the Lord. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. This language is both a show and reflection of their grade and quality of life the Lord God put within them when he created them. Praise the Lord. These languages or tongues is the wholesome and full language of Adam and his wife. This language was the language that the Lord God intended the human race to speak and to converse by. Praise the Lord. So man lost a conversation. There was a language that was lost from the beginning when man failed. When God created man, he formed him, he was supposed to communicate, he was supposed to converse with a language. There was a language that God intended the human race. Because that language, for me, is the original and the language that has the potency to capture the thoughts and the mind of God. So without that language, any language you are using to access God, just know that that language is a huge limitation for you to reach God. Praise the Lord. But thank God, God will use it. Praise the Lord. God will use the language. Is it not language we are using to communicate now? Say we are still using language, Abby. But a time will come, we will connect that original language. You see, that's why what we are hearing, as we said last week, is not basic, is not based on your credentials or your certificate or you are a graduate or you are not a graduate. It's not related to it at all. It's far from it. Is it Christianity? Christianity is not a product of education. That's not Christianity. Any Christianity that's practiced as a result of, I went to school, I did not go to school, I have this certificate, I don't have that certificate, and you see people, you know, pushing to street that, I have, you know, they turn out certificate and come out, you know, bringing a lot of things just to ensure that they have an edge. No, that is not true Christianity. Praise the Lord. Christianity, true Christianity is in the spirit. Hallelujah. True Christianity and true access back to God is in the spirit. God will help me. I want to keep to time. In Jesus' name. God have mercy on me. Oh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Alright. So, the human race was supposed to converse by a particular language that we all lost. So, reading from the manual. The scripture shows, let me read from there. The scripture shows to us clearly that there are earthly languages and heavenly languages. According to 1 Corinthians, you know, 1 Corinthians talks about, if I speak in tongues of men and tongues of angels and have no charity, I become like a sounding brass or what? A tingling cymbal. Let's continue reading from our manual. And also in chapter 14, also spoke about it. Let's see chapter 14, verse 13, verse 2. Chapter 14, verse 2. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. Praise the Lord. Verse 13. Let's read verse 13 now. 13 and 14. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayed, but my understanding is unfruitful. Praise the Lord. So, but what we are just trying to bring out here is that there is a physical, there is a language. Scripture has outrightly outlined that there is a language that is earthly, and there's a language that is what? Heavenly. Praise the Lord. Language as a gauge, or a gauge of the quality of life. Language, a gauge of the quality of life. In Genesis chapter 11, in the seasons of Nimrod, God came down so that men were raising towards dying highly in their souls, having died in their spirit because of Adam's disobedience, and in love, and with intention of checking sin, God encroaching further into man's soul, God confounded or mingled or confused man's language. Praise the Lord. So the splitting of the, let's see that Genesis chapter 11. And the whole earth was of what? One language. And of one what? Speech. That was what was on the face of the, even after creation. Even after the fall, there was one language. But because of the fall, man began to journey into perdition. And if you read this chapter, you see how man began to build a tower. How they began to want to build a tower and couch a name for themselves. This scripture says that, so that we can make a name for ourselves. So when God saw that, God splits language. It became multiple. Praise the Lord. So the diversities of tongues, diversities of tribes, diversity of languages we have today is as a result of disobedience. It's a result of the fall. You see, what man celebrates? What man celebrates and becomes a tool of schism in church today is deadly, is what God used to confound and to confuse human race. That when you come to church, you see differences that I'm not this tribe, you are this tribe, I'm not this tribe. Of course, you know, God has helped us a great deal. We don't have such in our midst. Praise the Lord. You know, our daddy, our parents hate tribalism. And it's the Lord that hates it. Praise the Lord. You know, the Lord hates tribalism. Where you see tribalism, Spirit of God, Spirit of Christ will not thrive there. Praise the Lord. Where there is tribalism, you have shut out Spirit of Christ. You will see activities of the Spirit, because tribalism is a chiller. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So God used that to stop man from journeying. You know, in that chapter 11, he said that man, they were one. The people is one. They became one because of that united speech and language. They could do things. And he said, and the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. This thing that was supposed to be an advantage, Satan hijacked it and began to use it against God. You see, Satan is not a creator. He uses everything that God has created and confuse man. Man will begin to use it against his creator. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God will deliver us in Jesus' name. So we see, God came down so that men were raising toward dying in their souls. And God was moved with love. Came to check sin from encroaching further into man's soul. God mixed the language and confused man's language. God did it. It wasn't divided. It was disarranged and confused to stop sin from prospering into man's soul. But that action that the Godhead also made it difficult for man to find access into the language that will make it easy for him to know God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Can we read that? But that action of God, of the Godhead, to scatter and to stop sin from encroaching, also made it what? Difficult. So the confusing of the language was to stop sin from encroaching to the soul of man. But it was a further making it difficult for man to assess the original language or to find access into the original language that will make it easy for him or for man to know God. So things become more difficult. It become more the things become more stiff and more difficult. Stringent measures we are being put for man to locate his way back to knowing God through that original mode of communication or line of communication was more difficult. Praise the Lord. He's telling us that we need much help as humans. Man now needs greater help to be able to locate this pathway or this language that will make it easy to know God. The path or the language to ask the access to know God became more difficult. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So the human race presently has a confused language. Do we agree with that? The human race, all humanity, man is confused. That's why we can't depend on anything, man. Praise the Lord. The language is presently confused. This confused language reflects the confused imagination and sin that already was in man's soul in a good measure, according to Genesis. Because of the fall, man's soul came into a level of confusion. That confusion was what God typified by confusing the language. You know, man lives by what is inside. Praise God. So God just helped man to see what was inside the soul of man. God just splits the language and confused the language to show man this is what is brewing inside your soul. Though they had one singular language, but what was building that Tower of Babel was a confusion. Praise the Lord. What was building that Tower of Babel that want to make? So when you want to make a name for yourself, what is at work in you is the spirit of confusion. If Satan wants to confuse you, build a name for yourself. Want to make a name for yourself. That's confusion. You don't need a prophet. Just is confusion. Praise the Lord. It's confusion, but so God just help man so that man can see this is what he's fellowshipping with. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Alright, the truth be told, languages are reflections of lives. Thank God we said it. Languages are what? Reflections of life. So let's move on. When God confounded man's language, he actually puzzles the language of Eden, which had everlasting wisdom and strength from man, and left man with something lower or something puzzled than Eden's strength in languages. Praise the Lord. You know, when they say something that is a puzzle, something that is, yes, there is a map, but you remove some parts and you can't connect it. You will need insight. You need wisdom. You need great help. You need judgment. You need upgrade to be able to connect the points. Praise the Lord. It's just like
when you are journeying on a path, and there is a path that has been created, and it's a dusty environment, maybe in a desert, only one path has been charted, and you have to journey a long distance to be able to connect and exit that place. And the wind just came and blew it away. You need spiritual compass to be able to chart that course. That's our journey. Praise the Lord. Something came and wiped away the course of man. The path that man was supposed to journey to connect God was wiped away as a result of sin. We need spiritual insight to be able to connect that path. Let's read from our manual. The original Edenic and Adamic human language, the way God gave it to man, was both a reflection of man's inward life and state. Praise the Lord. That's the original man, meaning that man was originally intact. Man was originally whole. Man was not confused. Man was not divided inside. Man was whole. Praise the Lord. Meaning man was, he was wholesome. He was one. He was a unit. When you look at the soul of man from the beginning before the fall, man was one. Everlasting life is one. Because man was created an everlasting being. So one thing that everlasting life will do, everlasting life, the teaching of everlasting life is bringing back what? Wholeness. Now when Pastor Paul was leading us to pray, he was praying that we should have one mind. You know, that's one thing everlasting life will do. Everlasting life will work out oneness. Oneness. That oneness, we lost it when man fell from Eden. But God is showing us mercy to find and to locate that oneness. You see, that oneness is in the doctrine of everlasting life. It's only the everlasting gospel that can restore man to the oneness that man lost from the garden. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Are we being blessed?
Yes,
is God helping us?
Yes,
all right. Thank you. All right. Reflection of man's inward life and state. And was high and strong enough to help man easily journey towards understanding God's life as put in the midst of the garden of God. We've said that. So that wholeness that man had from the beginning was a help. Meaning man lost or fell down from help. Praise God. You see, I want you to see everlasting life as a ladder that you need to climb. Eh? Or a platform. Let me use a pedestal. I want to remove this bob, for instance. I will need a platform to stand to remove the bob. Right? Now, if the platform or the table or whatever I need to use to stand to remove the bob is removed, that ladder that I need to stand to remove the bob, for me, is help. It's an elevation. If anything happened, that ladder or that platform is removed, what has been removed from me is what? Help. That was everlasting life. Everlasting life was help. Oneness before man fell was great help. So when man fell, he fell from a great state of an advantage. That help is also a state of an advantage, a leverage position that you must attain, or you are, that God places us there so that we can assess the things or the mist or the thing of the mist of the Garden of Eden. Praise the Lord. Let's move on. When the Lord called Abraham from the Ur of Chaldees and led him and his family and generation and brought forth the people, the Jewish nation, through him. And one of the many things that God did was to, in leading that people, restore or solves man's language or crisis. Praise the Lord. You know, man came into crisis. When they say crisis, turmoil, things, when the rumblings inside of man came into man when man fell. Hallelujah. So, man's language, crisis, or resolve the puzzle that was in man. Praise the Lord. Let's continue. We can see that in Isaiah 28. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to his people. Rest off. To whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing, yet they will not hear. Yes? But the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept. Precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little, that they might be, that they may fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. Yes? Wherefore, hear the word of the Lord. Praise the Lord. I think we've gotten the point. Let us read it from the manual once again. Let me just go back to that statement before this verse, so that we can just get that thought again. When the Lord called Adam from the hour of Chardis and led him and his family and generation and brought forth a people, that's the Jewish nation, through him, one of the many things that God did was to, in that leading and in that dealing with the people of God, was to restore man's language. Eh? Was to restore man's language from the crisis or the puzzle that man found himself. That's why you can see that he will use tongues, stammering tongues, a little here, a little there, line upon line, precept upon precept, just to ensure that man is restored back to that original point to connect God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I hope we are not sleeping. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's read. Let's continue. And because God dealt with that nation and the people, God could and did give them his word. That is his oracles. Praise the Lord. We can see that in Romans chapter 3. Because he did some work in them. Meaning that you can't come into handling the oracles of God if you have not been dealt with. If you have not been led. Praise God. It is in their oracles, because God gave it to them, that's the Jews, that the words eternal and everlasting were clearly distinguished and separated in the book of Deuteronomy. Praise the Lord. I thank God for the book of Deuteronomy chapter 33. Through this study, we have understood that it is that scripture that differentiates that the Hebrew word, praise the Lord, the Hebrew rendition of it differentiated the difference between everlasting life and eternal life. But in the New Testament, it wasn't so. Praise God. As a result of the fallen nature or the low quality of language, in the New Testament, it wasn't so. But in the Old Testament, we have seen this clearly defined. The word eternal and the word everlasting are different from the original Hebrew rendition. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And we thank God for that. Aren't we happy? We are grateful for God. This happened for our salvation. This happened to preserve oracles of God. Praise the Lord. You know, without this one, somebody will go and say, why are you differentiating everlasting and eternal? Where is it in the Bible? And they will use limited understanding of language in the New Testament and then say that, okay, it's not in the Bible. It's the same. It's the same. Everlasting, eternal is the same. It's not the same. Praise the Lord. They are not the same. God in his mercy has preserved this so that a generation will not be lost totally. We give glory to God for that. We give glory to God. Father, we thank you. Hallelujah. Praise God. All of these are being set so that we will have an open, discerning heart as we look at the issues of everlasting life, eternal life, being translated from the same words in the New Testament. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Rightly dividing the word of God. Rightly dividing the word of God. Can we say that together? Thank you. So the Greek word or the Greek language, as potent as it is, didn't have the vocabulary to express God's thought in the New Testament. You know, we know that the New Testament was written in Greek, or mean translated, or written in Greek. Praise God. And the Old Testament was written in what? In Hebrew. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Being the original kind of, praise the Lord, that we all is from all those Hebrew and Greek, that other languages like English and other languages get their translations from. Praise the Lord. So the Greek language, as potent as it is, because the New Testament, praise God, is potent. Amen. Didn't have all the vocabulary. And you know why? Why? It's because of the fall. It's because of the limitation of what? Language. Praise the Lord. We are dividing the word. You need to know these things. Because a time is coming. Spirits will test what we are hearing. They will tempt us to know that what we are hearing. That's why I say, study to show thyself approved unto who? God, not unto man. God. Because when you are approved of God, spirit cannot gainsay it to you. Spirit cannot confuse you. Praise the Lord. Let's go to our manual. So, as potent as the Greek language is, it didn't have all the vocabulary to express God's thought in the New Testament like the Hebrew in the Old Testament did. Praise God. So it will require God's help. It will require what? We need God's help. You see, that's why Bible is one. Don't say Old Testament, New Testament. When you say, this one was written in the Old Testament, Titus Old Testament something, where is it in the New Testament, this and that and that, you will be confused. It's confusion that is worrying the person. Praise the Lord. So, it's the same spirit that authored it. In the Old Testament, it's the same spirit that authored it in the New Testament. So it will require God's help, spiritual growth, meekness, waiting on scripture, being called by the Lord into the offices of understanding. Yes? That's the fivefold ministry who have a calling to bring certain depth of understanding to God's people according to Ephesians chapter 4 verse 12, and the permission of God to come into some depth of knowledge of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. So we can't limit our journey to human language. We will be bankrupt of resources of God. We will be limited to access God's thoughts. If we limit our going back to that original intention of how God wanted man to converse from the beginning, if we limit it to where is it in the Bible, or how it's been couched in the Bible, or the word that is being used in the Bible, it doesn't mean, or it doesn't say, or if you limit it to that way, you will miss a great deal, and we are way back to God. And that's why he said that we need great help. We need help. We need discernment. We need growth. We need stature. We need people whom God has raised, ministers that God has raised and commissioned and given the authority to bring this word to us and giving permission. Praise the Lord. Giving what? Permission. There have been permission permitted to perfect the same. The fivefold ministry have been commissioned. They are people that God has raised and giving them permission to speak to the saints. And you know these fivefold, they are in degrees. Praise God. You know, you can be a pastor of the meek of the word. You can be a pastor of the meek of the word. Praise the Lord. John, you can't compare the church that John was pastoring with the church that was in Corinthians. There are two different churches and at different levels of journey. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, even in the perfecting of the saints, you know, you can have in at every level, God blesses us with ministers that he has commissioned and permitted to bring the resources that we need at that particular time. Alright, I think there is no confusion in scripture. Can we say that together? Scripture is never confused. God is not an the author of confusion. No. Scripture is never, there's no confusion in scripture. If there is any confusion, the confusion is as a result of what is inside man already. Praise the Lord. Because what came into man when man fell was what? Confusion. So when you are confused about scripture, what you need is meekness, waiting, patience to be able to have understanding. Don't wrestle with scripture. You know, in 2 Peter chapter 3, Bible says that Paul was teaching wisdom. High wisdom. What was the wisdom? Things to come. Can I see that scripture quickly? Quickly, please. 2 Peter chapter 3, I think verse, an account that the long suffering of the Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, our brother Paul, was according to the wisdom given unto him, had written unto you, yes, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things had to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their what? On destruction. So when you wrestle with scriptures that you don't understand, to wrestle with scripture, it means you struggle with scriptures. You are fighting with scriptures. What you are doing is that you are wrestling to, you are heading to destruction. Unto their own destruction. So don't fight scriptures when you don't understand. As Pastor TJ will always say, that he has file what you normally call it? Eh? That he has a storage. When he does not understand something, maybe daddy says something as Pop was leading us to pray, you just keep it somewhere. Just hold it. Just save it. Just save it. And leave it. Wait on it. Trust God. Be meek. Be patient. Eh? You know, things of God will not be given to us the way we want it. Gra, 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 gra. I must understand. The more you make force, if you are forceful to understand scriptures, they won't open. Because they were not written by force. They were not written by force. That's what scripture says. It's not by might, not by power, but by what? It's by my spirit, says the Lord. If you want to use power and might, it will not open. It will be closed. An evil spirit can take advantage of that. God will help us in Jesus' name. Let's read from our manual. So scripture is not confused. There's no confusion. There's no confusion in scripture. There's no confusion in God's word. Whether it's Hebrew, Old Testament, or New Testament written in Greek, there is no confusion. Anytime we see confusion or contradiction in our studying or understanding of scripture, it is actually the confusion or the contradiction that is in us that shows up. Praise the Lord. And we misconstrue it to be what? Inaccuracies in the Bible. So confusion that we see, misconstruction of God's words that we see, is as a result of things that have been tampered with man inside of our souls. That arrangement that was wholesome has been tampered with. Man is no longer whole. So when things of God are coming, they are foolishness. But God is delivering us from foolishness. God is delivering me from foolishness, so that I can receive the things that the Spirit of God, not Holy Ghost, Spirit of God is bringing in this season. Hallelujah. You know, the season of God is a season of creation of or forming image, where image is being formed. That's the season that we are in, where the Spirit of God is at work, as Daddy Oyegoke said. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Anytime we see confusion, we have read that our comprehension of God's word and ability to rightly divide God's word is dependent not on our strength to study. It's good to study. It's good to read your Bible. But it's not by might. It's not by word. It's not by power. But on us being continually led by the Lord away from our own ways and our own word. Thoughts. You know, you can study and study and study and study and study. I have a lot of scriptures. You can cut back to back. Not like me that is struggling to cut scriptures. Praise the Lord. But you can cut back to back, back to back, back to back, back to back, you know. But when instructions for obedience comes, you can struggle. Then you have not read the scripture. Just like Pastor TJ was ministering yesterday, sir. That you can pray for 100 hours. Which is good to pray. Praise the Lord. But when instruction comes, and you can, the essence of that prayer is to help you to carry out instructions. But when you are prayed, and instructions come to love your brother, and your sister comes, and you cannot love, meaning that prayer that you have prayed is a wasted effort. God will help us in Jesus' name. Having said all this, let's see some examples where the Greek language or text of the New Testament didn't capture the thoughts of the author. Praise the Lord. So we are looking at the Greek in the New Testament, how it didn't capture the thoughts of the author when they were writing it. It didn't capture the thoughts of the author. The honors, praise the Lord, now rest on us. On one, that's on us, who is called to the office of teaching God's people, like Timothy was admonished to rightly divide the word of truth. Without properly dividing the word, there will be what? Confusion. So confusion, there is bound to be confusion if we don't receive grace to rightly divide the word of truth. Praise the Lord. So that's what we are seeing. The essence of this study we learned last week is not to prove a point to anybody. Praise the Lord. It's not to win an argument. Amen. If there is anything to win an argument, it's to win the argument in our hearts. If there is any confusion in our hearts, this study is supposed to reconstruct our heart so that we can properly align. Quickly, because of our time. Let's see 1 Corinthians chapter 11. So I want to see those thoughts that we are not captured. So we have two examples here. There are some thoughts that we are not captured. When the Bible was being translated with all meekness and humility, we are not correcting what the Bible is saying. Praise the Lord. But as a result of sight under our parents, God has helped us to see that even the things that the way they, you know, it was human being that translated the Bible. So anything that God is doing, that will go through human, Emeka has said, anything that God will do that will go through human vessel, it has some limitation.
Praise the Lord.
It doesn't mean that what God is doing has limitation. God doesn't have limitation. But for the fact that it's coming through the frail nature of man, this man, it has some limitations. Does that mean that, you know, you can be tempted, since everything that God is doing through man has some limitations, you will not be taking what God is saying through God's servants lightly. You'll be cheating yourself. Bible says, believe the Lord thy God, you will be established. Believe his word, prophet, you will what? You will prosper. If you despise God's, our parents, God's servant, the ministers of the gospel, you will not prosper in the things of God. Praise the Lord. I think that is a balance, right? God will help us in Jesus' name. So one of the misconceptions or our inability to capture the thoughts of God or the thoughts of the author of the New Testament when it was bringing out some thought. We just want to use it as an example so that when you are looking at the New Testament, how everlasting life is outlined in the New Testament, when you don't see it that way, because it means the same thing in the New Testament, when you don't see that way, that should not give you a yardstick to say that it's the same. It's not the same. Praise the Lord. So, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3 to 5, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. Every man is Christ. And the head of the woman is the man. And the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonored his head. So, in this scripture, if you just take it the way it is like this, on the surface, it means that every man, every man is the head of every woman he sees. That's not what this scripture is trying to communicate. This scripture is trying to communicate husband and wife. As a husband of my wife, I am not the head of every woman. Praise the Lord. A husband is the head of his wife. But in this scripture, you know, if you look at it on the surface, it looks like every man is the head of every woman. Or the man is the head of every woman. You know, that's why sometimes you see some men trying to control women. Because of even in church, because of misunderstanding of this scripture. So if you use language, you will lose the mind of the spirit. And you will misinterpret this. And you will injure people because of misinterpretation of the thoughts of God. In this passage, reading it from the surface, you will easily conclude that Paul is saying is that the head of every woman is the man. It's not true. But that is not what the apostle is saying. Our daddy, Reverend Kenneth E. Hagin, in his book, The Woman Question. How many of us have read that? We're encouraged to read after Daddy Hagin. Let's ensure that we read it. The Woman Question brought clarity to this matter. Let's see. The head of every woman is definitely not the man. No. According to New Testament understanding, it is the husband that is the head of his or the wife. Praise the Lord. If you compare this with other portions of the scripture, you will agree. It's the husband that is the head of his own wife, not the head of every woman. So somebody may ask, what about those that don't have husbands? What about sisters that are not married? Praise the Lord. What did he say, sir? Christ is their head. Praise the Lord. Christ is their head. They also have parents. Praise the Lord. They also have covering. So, you, as a sister that is not married, you have a covering. Praise the Lord. We have parents. We have parents in the Lord. We have parents biological that are your covering. That's why
you are here, you are a sister, you are staying under a pastor, you are staying with a brother, you are staying with a, you know, in a house. That is covering for you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So don't say, it's only sister that are married, that have husband, that have covering. No. Christ is their head. Because Christ is the head of the man. That man there is not just the woman. He's the head of the man. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So you can see in the New Testament, that's what we just want to prove, that the thoughts of the author was not rightly captured as a result of the low importance in capturing the thoughts of limitation. Thank you, Daddy. Limitation of the language of man or human language. So in this journey of great recovery, if you depend on human language, you will miss a great deal. God will help us not to miss that in Jesus' name. So Christ, our Lord, is the head of the collective body of Christ. Praise the Lord. Christ is the head of the collective body of Christ. Brothers, sisters, everybody, Christ is our head. Hallelujah. No singular man is the head of every woman. It's a lie. It's heresy. It's confusion. It's crisis. Praise the Lord. This might seem confusing. It is not known that the Greek language does not have separate word for husband and man. It is the same word. So in the Greek rendition, it's the same word that is used both for man and for woman. As a result of what? Limitation. Praise the Lord. So God will help us in Jesus' name. That's why we must see beyond it. So when the authors of the New Testament needed to talk of husbands, the word they used also meant man. Therefore, the translators used the word they felt was best at each occasion. Praise the Lord. So help, we are dividing the word now. So in the New Testament, you see man, you see woman, you see man, you see husband. Look at the context. Don't just pick that word and conclude and run with it. God will help us in Jesus' name. Okay, the last one. Love. Let's say love. That's agape. In the New Testament, we are looking at it. Unlike the word life, that has Greek words that shows the different kinds of lives that are spoken in the Bible. Praise the Lord. So in the Greek word, there's so much help in the Greek rendition. The word life, by the help of God, was rightly divided. Life is not just life. Life in their rendition in the Bible in the New Testament was demarcated and was well specified and defined. All lives. You know, life has pedigrees, degrees. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So quickly, lives that are spoken in the Bible, bios, which means human or biological life, according to Luke chapter 8, we can see that the Zoe, the life in God, according to John chapter 1, verse 4, love that is of the kingdom does not have specific words that qualify them according to their differences all through the New Testament. Do you understand that? Because the word life has differentiation. We can differentiate it. When you look at the meaning, when you look at the rendition and the way it was explained, we can differentiate it between biological life, between Zoe, which is the life that is in the God, like our pastor that called his son Zoe. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, you know, love is not like that. Love in the New Testament is rendered love, agape. Flats. You need life, you need spiritual insight and great help and wisdom
to be able to decode. You know, that's why we have to thank God for our parents, for bringing us to this differentiation. So we now know that this love in the New Testament have different. Let's see. Let's read more. The word agape is the only word that was used to describe all the kingdom loves, called and uncalled, even though they all are not the same. For example, in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 15, Bible says what? Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your love, we are rounding up, your faith, have you heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and what? And love unto who? All saints. So that Ephesians define love. You know, you can see it's used the word love. And if you look at it, it's agape. Praise the Lord. But this love is at a level. It's at a level. Bible call it love unto all saints. Which we can get when we give ourselves to the milk of the word. So the milk of the word will produce a kind of faith and love. You know that he taught us that faith, love does not stand. They are twins. There is a true lake. Love and faith. Love and faith. Love and faith. Do you understand my... Love and faith, one level. Love and faith, two level. Love and faith, third level. Do you understand? Love and faith in the outer court. Love and faith in the holy place. Love and faith in the most holy. Praise the Lord. They don't go alone. They go together. Praise the Lord. So in this Ephesians, rightly dividing the word, it speaks of the love of the saints, which by giving ourselves to the meek of the word, we will love the saints. Hallelujah. And that is a level. That is at a level. If you move further, what's the next one? Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. And now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three. But the greatest of this is what? Charity. This charity is as a result of what? Christ. That's the peak of Christ, that Christ will produce in a soul or in one that has journeyed, done well in the meek, and journeyed in the doctrine of Christ. And what Christ will cap with is charity. This charity is not just flat agape. It's charity that Christ will produce in a believer. Praise the Lord. And then we'll move further in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Speaks of love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So there is a love that is in the Father, which is expected to be in the believer. Let's read from the manual. In this, John speaks of the love of the Father. Hallelujah. That ought to dwell in us. Speaks of God being love in 1 John. 1 John chapter 4, you know, in that John, we read the love that 1 John chapter 1 verse 2 verse 15 talks about the love of the Father. In 1 John chapter 4 verse 8, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. That's the peak of love. God is love. Let's read from our manual, rounding up. God is love. So in that also speaks of God being love. That's God, the raw essence or the raw being of God is what? It's love. So when you are touching the fabric of God, when you are touching the essence of God, of who God is, the totality of God is love. But you need love of the saints towards all saints.
love of the brethren, charity, praise the Lord, and the love of the Father to arrive at God. Do you understand? We need what? Love towards all saints, love of all, towards all saints, love of the brethren, love of the charity, and then love of the Father to arrive at God, which is love. Who is love? Without those journey, you can't get to God. So when we are singing, we are going to God, what are we singing? We are going to love. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So, they are not the same, but the Greek word qualifies them with the same word. It takes the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of revelation to discern their what? Differences. And God has been helping us, and He will continue to help us in Jesus' name. We are thanking God for our parents. Without them, we will not know that these things are different. We'll just be reading love, 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 flat like that. God is not flat. Praise God. God is an edifice. It's a building. Hallelujah. Amen. It is good to note, in conclusion, that the mind and the language of man cannot unearth the thoughts and the intent of God in scriptures. The author or the anointing, which is of the Spirit of God, is what it takes to discern, to understand scriptures, not just language. Praise the Lord. So you need more than language to discern the thoughts of God. We have said that over and over. Just as we have seen from the above, taking cues from a few, other words in a human language which have been used to represent certain spiritual concepts in the scripture. The subject of everlasting life and eternal life is not a subject to be determined with our head or human strength, but by what? By the help of the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. Can we just bless the name of the Lord? Can we just pray that the Lord will help us? We need help to understand this issue of everlasting life. You know, we have not really started learning, understanding everlasting life. We are just receiving help so that we can start understanding it. Can we just ask for help? That the Lord will help us in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We give you praise, our Father. Thank you, our Father. Blessed be your name.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. What a meeting. Hallelujah. I say, what a meeting with the Lord. This actually calls for sober reflection. Pastor, thank you so much, Pastor Sam, for rightly dividing the word of truth. Even in the short notice, you yielded to the Spirit of God, and God, through your mouth, has brought forth graces this morning. And we pray that we'll find mercy to align and submit ourselves to these teachings as it's been brought to us by the Holy Spirit through you, sir. Thank you so much. The Lord will continue to strengthen you. And I see a lot of graces that we will dream from as you keep yielding to the Lord. We appreciate you so much, sir. Thank you. Can we clap for our pastor? Amen. Praise God. It was just being notified last night. And this is not just academic series that you are teaching, that you can just lacram lapor. You know what I mean, lacram? You can lacram it. I can just pour it forth. But this has to do with the spirit. Amen. Some of us who are in schools, remember when you have exam and there was no time, more especially if you are not this kind of one that doesn't study, and you know you needed to pass this exam, and the exam is the next day morning. You know, you can spell through the night. You know, you are not reading to understand at that time because you can't understand. You do as much as possible that's lying within you to cram all those things. No, you just, so that when you get to the hall, God helping you that someone will not offend you, you just react, those crammings will just disappear. But this is have to do with spirit. That not only teaching, you rest with spirit. You know, praise God. Thank you so much, sir. Hallelujah. Actually, it's a great blessing. What was just going through my mind while he was teaching, just seeing how privileged we are. And our daddy, Agwaje, will bear witness, our mommy and mommy Jibe, those who are drunk from different world before they came into this, we tell you that this is not common. This is caste commodity, if you permit me to use the word. You see these things? Whites, we are not trying, we don't even have the right to criticize because it's not in us to do so. But we are just thanking God for the privileges that we have found. The reason why so many centers in the body remain the same because light has not really shined through the scripture for them to see the depth of God to the level that God is helping us to see. Now, it can't behave aside from what you have been exposed to. So if greater light is being shined in us, you know, expectation from God is that we should respond based on the light that we are hearing. That also shows the sign of the level of salvation that we are attaining to, praise God. Amen. Now, let's just look at, take clue of this, early, what he just said as he got to languages according to the manual. Want to thank God for our daddy, even by the spirit, to give himself. You know, this thing, honestly speaking, it maybe is my thoughts. At some time, I think, why, how come pastor was able to fetch this thought? These thoughts are not in the realm of men. No? You must have journeyed to God to be able to fetch this thought from God to bring forth. That's what Jesus said, pray that thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So you have to travel to God in your journey with God to bring down the will of God. Now, journey to God means allowing yourself to the workings and the dealings of God to be able to understand what is the mind of God for creation. And for man specifically, praise God. So these thoughts are not common. Like Pastor Radley has, I was even, you know, somewhere in between. When he said, which language was Adam speaking? I was just asking myself, actually, I've not thought of that. What was language that Adam was speaking? Now, for us to see the level of the fall, the level of the decadence, you see what the wicked one has done to humanity. That is Satan. My pastor said that it's just like walking in a desert, and after you finish walking, a wild wind just blow and blow up that path. You can't, any other person coming within behind will not be able to trace the path because what? Something has erased the path. He makes sure that he wants to erase the path to God. That man will never forever locate God. And if he has succeeded in doing that, salvation will not be given. Man is permanently doomed. Man will forever remain under his control. But thanks be to God that God is not a man. God is a creator. And God created even him that has fallen. That is Satan. So God has his key. Praise God. He can't outsmart God. If God allowed him, that means God wants to use him to save men. Praise God. It happened in the scripture. The Bible says, had they knew, they would not have crucified what? The Son of Glory. If crucifying Jesus, if the Satan has knew that crucifying Jesus will end up bringing the salvation to man that he doesn't want to be saved, he will not venture that, you know, that project. So, God cannot be taken unaware. Praise God. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. The people and they that dwell what? Therein. And God rule and reign in affair of men. And Jesus said, for thou hast given me power over all flesh. Praise God. Amen. So, when languages is being lost, then the path to God will be difficult. Like he said, sir, what language was Adam communicating with his wife Eve before the fall? I don't want to say with Cain and Abel because they came after the fall. But let me just stay in this place before the fall, because the both of them exist before they fell. So what language were they using? And even like you said, sir, through the scripture and the manual, when God comes in the cool of the day, because what? God was having fellowship with them. What language was God using to reach out with them or to them? So if you can trace that language, be good enough. Oh God, thank you, Holy Spirit. You know, early this year, or that first night, when Mommy Helen, by the Spirit of God, received by the Spirit of God, what God intends to do this year and beyond, that he wants to give us what? Everlasting life. And Adam and Eve, in a shadow, they were in everlasting before what? The fall. Amen. So, this now brings to my understanding, if God is brooding this thought through his servant, our daddy, Pastor Meka Eguchuku, why hasn't this topic come before this time? So, there is intent of God. The word of God will not return back to God void. As he said it, he will do it. If he said this year and beyond, he's going to give us everlasting life. God is determined, and everlasting life cannot be given if the scripture, the truth, will not be open. Because everlasting life is tied to the scripture. So if this time God is opening up the scripture that have been locked for years, that means the season of salvation is closer than ever before. The man will be saved. Man will be restored back to God. Man will come to the estate where God dreams of man. I want to make man. I want to create man in my likeness, in my image. So Satan is a creature. He will fall. He will utterly fall. And God's word will stand. And man shall be saved. Because God is true. The word of God cannot be broken. So God said this year is ready and willing to give us everlasting life. But there's something lying within us to do. We have to align. We have to follow. We have to believe. Because the path that we've not traded before. So when God talks through our father, our daddy, as regard to the languages that was lost, he meant to bring us back to the language of the Spirit. Now ask yourself, why speaking in tongues? The Bible says when you speak in tongues, what happened? You speak what? The language of God. Was Adam, maybe probably it was speaking in tongues, they were speaking, I wouldn't know anyway. Where did God introduce speaking in tongues in New Testament?
Because Jesus said, the third person in the Trinity, when he shall come, what will he do? He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost. The sign of his the word. You will speak the language. So speaking in tongue is the language of the Trinity. That means God is restoring man to the path where man can be saved. So whosoever that reject is speaking in tongues is actually rejecting coming into the language of God. Because language has to do with blood tie. Tell me your tribe, I will tell you its language. So we are meant to give in to what God is doing this time. So this teaching shouldn't be taken lightly. If we really want to be saved. And that's why I said, it is not common in centers of churches. Slow down to centers right now, or put on your television, on your radio, you'll be hearing different things. That's what? That's not outside the cloud of this world. Who the prince of this world, the Bible says, govern. So anything you are speaking that is not originating or that's limited within the circle influence of this earth cannot undo the work of Satan. Praise God. Pastor, thank you so much. So God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Are they, if they want to talk to themselves, they say, be, si, ba, ba. No, they have language. That language is their life. And for us to come into their life, they have to give up their languages. And their languages is in the spirit. And that's why when Pastor was teaching us, human languages can limit or limited the originality of the person of God. Not because the language is faulty, it's because the verse in which the language comes out from is not pure. Praise God. Just pick a cup of water or a plastic that you are not washed and go to the purest stream. Take it water from there and give me to drink. Though you take it from the purest stream, what will happen to that water? Why? The vessel is not pure. The problem is not the water. The problem is the vessel. So, what is God doing to purge the vessel? When the vessel is purged and cleansed, when it takes the water will, at the same way, will be clean. I mean, the vessel will be carry the same vibe with the what? That's why we hear crystal water. Pastor, you've done a lot. I don't even know what to, you know, but I was almost trying to go outside to go and wee-wee, not because I want to wee-wee, because I see you are trying to make sure that you meet up the time. So I don't want you to cut the flow of the spirit. But I say if I do that, I don't know how, whether I'm offending you or God. I just stay put. But I actually wanted that grace to be exhausted, to find fully cut, because you are actually coming from where I believe God would have us to dream from this morning. Praise God. So thank you so much, sir. God will continue to strengthen you in Jesus' name. Like I said, the scripture is clear. It's true. Let me just, for reading's sake and for emphasis, if you want to take it that way. Now, you know, Pastor said, talked about the Spirit of God and the Holy Ghost. Now, say rightly dividing the word of truth. If the word of truth is not divided, salvation will not be completed. The completion of salvation is the rightly dividing the word of truth. Praise God. Because the scripture itself is a person. Jesus said, I am what? The bread of life. So it's that bread. Why? He said, read the scripture. He told them. He said, even the Old Testament, the prophets, they speak of who? Of him. So if they speak of him, he is the scripture of truth. So, and he said he is the bread of life. So if we eat, now that's why Christ cannot be, or God cannot be given unto us at once. because we don't have the capacity, as it were, praise God, to receive all of His. Already, because there's a structure, a work of the wicked that have been done in man, that make man to lose sight of the person of God. So God gave Himself to us bit by bit. That's what Pastor was saying. Faith and love. And level of altar court. Faith and love. Level of the holy place. Faith and love. Level of what? The most holy place. So in measure, that's how where we read, He said what? Line upon line. Precept upon precept. A little here, a little there. Praise God. A little here, a little there. Praise God. Say, come to the school of the Spirit. So we need to enroll. We need to come to the school of the Spirit. Because that is where He is. For God is Spirit. For that will worship God, must worship Him in where? And in truth. The confusion here is because the scripture has been interpreted with academic mind. You know, the good thing about this thing is that whether you say, like he says, sir, whether you go to school or you don't go to school, it's not a hindrance for assessing God. But you know one thing? You know, most of us here, most people here went to school. And you are saying this. So someone will not say, because people doesn't go to school. That's why you're saying that. Go to school, let your eye be open. Now, people have gone there. And they discover that what is there is futility of futility. Now, what brought about school? What did the school teach us? The things that is where? Are we neglecting, disregarding school? No. God permitted that. And God would want you to go. Please, hallelujah. That's what our parents has instructed us. But also making us to see the background of everything. That school is not salvation. And the school will not take you to heaven. The school will not take you to God. But school can be a pedestal, because some of you that came into this light is through campuses. So it's a channel that God opened to bring people. So God cannot be tired. Now if you say, I'm not going to school and you stay, you demon will press you there. Because demon like illiterate also. Because they make people illiterate. Praise God. So it's neither school nor not going to school. Now God allowed people here to go to school so that as you go to school and come back and you are saying this, you can better tell people that life is all about in the Spirit, is in God. Amen. Is in God. So Pastor was saying about the Holy Spirit, God the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit. I now say the Holy Spirit is not the Spirit of God. You know, these things are not common in places. People, because are not rightly dividing the word of truth. Because there are three personalities, but the three of them are one. Praise God. Now, how can you solve this equation? It is God language, you. But bring it in human language, it falls flat. Now, when the Bible say, when a man joined to his wife, two of them will become one. Huh? One. The two join together and they will be one. Now, where did you see that mathematics? But normal academic equation or mathematics tell you when you bring two things. When you bring things different, one plus one, it make what? Two. So, how do you relate that with God's one plus one that become one? Praise God. So what we are trying to say, or what I see here, is that now, of course, the Spirit, Jesus said, you know what the Bible, Paul said to the people, when you gather together, and my Spirit with you. Now, does it mean that Paul's Spirit is just woven over the air, looking at the people? No, that Spirit is the character of the life that he has trapped. Like as we gather here now, the Spirit of the set man is here with us. How? Because of the conversation of the dealing of God he has trapped, that he is communicating to us. So that is what is over us as a baptism, as a cloud. So that Spirit is there with us. That Spirit is not the Holy Ghost. But what brought that Spirit is by the Holy Ghost. So Holy Ghost is the vehicle. Because the Bible saying, I'm trying to divide the word of truth. The Bible said in the Old Testament, it said the prophet that the Spirit of Christ that was in them. Now, Christ our Lord Jesus physically was not born when that the Old Testament quote and unquote. But he said the spirit of Christ, he was talking about the character of that life. So when he said that character has nothing to do with, it had to do with the soul configuration. And the soul configuration is embedded by knowledge, knowing, life issued out. Amen. So when he said the spirit of God, he's talking about, because of course we've heard in the book of Colossians chapter 2 that there's the mystery of the Father, mystery of God and of the Father and of who? Christ. Amen. So if there's mystery of God, the Father and Christ, that means there are doctrines. So doctrines is the level of their salvation, if you permit me to use that word. Praise God. Or the level of their personality. And what constitutes their personality is light. And the light comes by learning. Praise God. So, but all these spirits will not come if not by the conveyance of the Holy Ghost, the third person in the Trinity. Amen. Praise God. So, we are so fortunate that in our time, God is restoring back even much more better the language of what? Everlasting life. Which is the language that God came down to relate with man so true that he can take man back to himself. Amen. Because like we've learned through our parents, our daddy, that the lower place, pedestal that God can come is in the realm of the Father, which is the realm of what? Everlasting life. So that was the reason Adam, when he was created, he was made so as a being of everlasting being. And God will come to him in that level to relate with him with the language that he can understand. So if God is bringing to us the language, which is the doctrine of the Father, to us in this time, that means the truth of what God promised us concerning everlasting life this year is actually becoming real. You know, we've taken that word and we've swallowed it, and I don't know what if we digest it. Sometimes seen as if we've even forgotten that God says so, and we want to continue our life the way we normally run it. No. See this earth? We experience God once again. And this thing will happen in our days. Because the things of everlasting is being given to us. So that is where God can step. You know, God hides in eternity. Like he said, like Bible clearly defined to us in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 33 verse 27. God is eternal God. But beneath it or underneath our word. What is beneath and underneath? He stepped down. So why did he step down? Is to pick the people, to take them to where? Eternal life. Praise God. So we should not take lightly this season and this series. Time will come. Is it lost? Not a loss of the flesh, or the pride of life, and loss of the eyes. What we deal with it, the Bible says, like he taught us, is Christ. When we fully come into that charity, which is the peak of Christ, it will deal with this lust, which is of the world. But you know, it's not the final. When that has been done, you know, the Bible talks about the God of this world. We'll now meet the God of this world. And what we deal with the God of this world is what? Everlasting gospel. Because he is an everlasting world being. Amen. Praise God. How many of us want to be saved? Of course I know. That's why you are here. So our appetite for the things of God should be upgraded. Our hunger and quest for righteousness should be fine-tuned. Amen. And if that will be done, the building, because the thing is light. The thing, there's so much light here. Honestly speaking, just pick it when you get back home. under the influence and the spirit of this teaching, just be pumping light, then that will not give the kind of conversation, even while you go to your offices and the places of your business, your test and quest and pursuit will begin to be redefined after the order of the Spirit. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Okay, let me read the dilemma of fallen human tongue, which has shortchanged us from coming to the original tongue of God. Now, I want us to begin to see scripture by the Spirit of God as God wants us to see scripture. That's the mind of God. You know, our daddy, Reverend K, was so many years back that when he came here, if you can remember vividly, he was teaching something and he just entered into the level of the Spirit of God. You know, in our talks, he said, Hagen is a tongue. You remember that? He said, Hagen is a tongue. Tongue. Now, I want you to see tongue as a nature. Because your tribe is your tongue. Your tribe is your nature. Tongue is your language. You can't speak beyond what the constitution of who you have made. And Pastor Radley says something. That is why the dichotomy of I am this Paul, I am of Apollos. I am of Paul, I am Apollos, I am this. The only thing that can deal with this if our tongue and the Spirit is beginning to give to us and we are taking it, because our tongue is in the script, is Spirit. Amen. I say human language is a limitation because the conveyors of the languages are not yet fully purified to bring forth the accuracy of God's thought. And for the accuracy of God's thought to be given, man need to be gradually, priesthood by priesthood, line upon line, little here, little there, begin to go, begin to purge man until man will be thoroughly furnished so that he can carry out the quality of the word of God. So that, praise God. Amen. All right. What we give to them, I round up by saying, if you listen to the dialogue between our daddy, Reverend Kaude Oyegbuka, and Pastor Tosi, some years ago, Reverend made reference when they were differentiating eternal life and everlasting life. Reverend made reference of something. He used God as a kanjidan. You know, kanjidan is a station. It generates a source of generating power. Now, I now say, as you are, Stephen, take your 25 or 500 megawatts of your television, if there's anything like that, and say, because Nepal light is disturbing too much, and take it to Kandy Town and plug it so that you not have problem of your light. Even you and that television will not return back. So God have to step down. Christ have to be, that is everlasting life. Through Christ, just like power distribution, transformer, and all that, until you get to the level where your 220 volt star engineer, is it 220, will can be what given to you. Now, from there, you begin to increase. From there, until you be able to access the source, and there is the total salvation. You will not remain, but God will be what? All in all. So as we give him, the Spirit of grace will enable us. Thank you so much.
Oh, by the new and living way.
We trust you have been blessed by this message. For more inquiries, please visit www.nlwc.church or call 0909-054-2599. You can also contact us via WhatsApp on 0803-688-4759. God bless you.
Oh, by the new and living way, consecrated for